today on Older and Wiser.
Have you ever sent food back at a restaurant? We'll tell you who's most likely to demand satisfaction.
We'll also reveal the number one destination older people want to go to and the things we do while waiting in line at the grocery store.
Plus, are you hot or not? We'll reveal how most people would rate themselves on a scale of 1 to 10.
You're listening to Older and Wiser. I'm a solid 8. Just saying.
Good
just
for
saying.
You.
We'll get into that a little bit later. Hey, folks, I'm Bob Bates along with Susan Sikora in Northern California. And today we've got all kinds of public opinion surveys that we've dug up from across the internet. And so let's get started. Here's our first survey today. The question is, when is it appropriate to send food back at a restaurant? This was a survey done by YouGov Omnibus. Apparently, older customers, according to this survey, older customers are more likely to send their food back than youngins. Do you believe that's true, Susan?
No. I think younger people are picky. I do. At least the ones I know. And I mean, it depends. If you're at a restaurant where their friends are working, then no, they won't serve it. They won't send it back, probably. But I'm not sure if age is a thing here.
I am a little uncomfortable with sending back something like my asparagus is a little overcooked. Could you do it again? I just can't bring myself to ask the chef to cook something again. Because I'm afraid they're going to spit on it, to be honest.
Everybody's afraid of that.
Oh, he doesn't like it.
I mean, I guess it really happens. I just wonder if it happens as much as people fear
or imagine.
You know, it's like, I haven't got time to spit on your food.
I haven't got time to spit.
You know, it's a job. If I give you the new asparagus or the old, it doesn't matter. Unless you throw off my momentum and it's the height of, you know, dinner hour or something.
But I would send a steak back to ask them gently, you know, this is great, but could you throw it on the heat again just a little bit more? I'm feeling like I should have it a little more well done.
Yeah, I think if it were chicken and it were underdone, I do eat chicken, and if that were underdone, I would think, you know, I don't want to get sick or anything. So I probably would send that back. I'm sure, especially if it was a special or something they do all the time, they probably have more chicken. They can just put another piece on there.
Of course. But it does make me feel worried to say to the kitchen, this isn't good enough for me. You did this badly. Do it again.
If it was something that was just a side dish and I wasn't eating that much of it, I'd probably just leave it.
According to this, 61% of those over 55 say they are comfortable sending food back, while only 52% of millennials are comfortable doing it.
Yeah, so, I think if it's a legitimate reason, yes. If you're just being picky just to be picky, no.
Yeah, okay. The main reason people send their food back, according to this survey, is they got the wrong meal.
Right, I would send it back then.
Second is that the food was undercooked.
If it were something that could make me sick, yes,
absolutely.
I would.
Third, it had a hair in it.
Yeah, I might send it back for that or just let them know.
I don't know about that one, because that really is criticism. I don't know. I don't know what I would do. I sort of feel like I would just push the food aside and not eat. I'd be afraid to send it back for fear they'd put something else in there. When you find a hair in your food and you send it back, you are telling the chef, you got to be kidding. I got part of
I don't know about
meal.
That. I don't want hair in my food. But on the other hand, I will say there probably have been times in my life when maybe there was a hair on a plate or near something, and I just kind of pushed it aside or avoided wherever that was.
And the final objection that people have is that the plate was not clean.
Okay,
that happen. Have you ever had that?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, here and there, something's not. But usually it's the table not being clean. But I would say something at that point.
Do you ever get a drinking glass with lipstick on it?
Here and I don't know. You know, I don't know. With lipstick, I don't know. Maybe I got a glass that wasn't that clean, though. But I looked at it first. I mean,
you look at it
halfway through your drink.
Usually the wait staff is friendly about making those kinds of changes.
Yeah, and if it's something that's obviously dirty, you know, if it's not quite sparkling enough to your up to your standards, that's a different story.
All right. Our next topic today, apparently Americans really despise long grocery checkout lines, according to a new survey from Forrester Research. They did a national survey of 1,000 shoppers and found that over half of people are willing to walk away entirely to avoid a slow checkout lane.
Walk away, you mean?
Like you get in the lanes and they're all too long, so you just leave your cart and you go. I don't think so.
No, I don't think it depends. I mean, if it's a really long line, I would probably look for a shorter line. But if you're shopping, let's say the day before Thanksgiving or for some big event and everybody's there and you waited to the last minute anyway, you have to expect the lines, and one line is going to be as long as another. Plus, you now, if you walk out, you still have to get the food somewhere else.
According to this study, 70% of shoppers report that they have abandoned shopping trips, just gave up on a shopping trip. Although it is true that that's not the top reason. The top reason is distance. The store was too far away. I don't know how you didn't know that the store was too far away before you went there. Number two reason was that the prices were too high in the store.
Again, why would you go there then?
Yeah, why'd you go there?
Yeah, you would know that.
So the third is that the lines were too long. I don't know. This whole survey seems a little bogus to me. I got a couple questions for you, however.
Sure.
About standing in line at the grocery store. Number one, mm-hmm. Do you read the magazines while you're waiting in line?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Now, you're not going to buy one. You're just going to take the National Enquirer out. You see the headline, you flip through to find the story?
Well, yes, I'm sorry to say. First of all, and let me tell you why.
Okay.
I think a lot of these publications, I understand that they're struggling to survive, but struggling to survive as a magazine or a newspaper, you're not going to get my help or support if you're going to charge $12 for a magazine, okay?
Right.
So I can't play then, okay? You're out of my league. I'm either going to go to the library and look for it, or else I'm going to read it online, or I'm going to do without it. It's too much money.
Also, look, there's no rule that says you can't open magazines and check them out while waiting.
That's true.
They put them right there.
Yes, they do.
Expecting you to do that, I assume.
The same thing with candy and gum and things like that. You certainly can't open a Hershey bar, have a bite, and put it back. But you can open a magazine and see what's going on with the royal couple of the month.
How about this? Do you let people cut in front of you if you've got a cart full and they only have one or two items?
Absolutely.
Now, in the old days, that was kind of customary, that if you in grocery stores where there were just four cashiers and, you know, somebody only had a couple of items, I'd let them go. These days we have, you know, lanes specifically for people with one or two items. And I find that sometimes people will, even though there are lanes for a few items, those lanes are busy too. They'll come stand behind me with my big cart and look at me like, hey, why don't you let me go in front of you? Because they don't want to stand in the line that's designated for people with just a few items.
Well, you have two options. You can either just let them go in front of you and kiss it off, or don't make eye contact.
I don't make eye contact.
There you go.
That's my choice. I also think that some of these people don't understand how to use the self-checkout. Do you have the self-checkout in your store?
You know, we do, and I don't use it. And let me tell you why. Don't call me a Luddite before I finish my story. Very quickly, the one time I tried to do it, I won't mention the store's name, but the one time I went into a grocery store, this was a couple years back, and I thought, I'll try it. And it wasn't bad. I thought, I could follow directions. And I'd actually had done it before. But this time when I did it, sure enough, there was a glitch on their side with their computer. And all of a sudden it was, it may have been hacked and we may have your number out there and you'll have to call. So I had to call and get a new number and a new card
bad.
And all
okay,
that.
Okay, that is bad.
I'm not going
of
to.
Course.
So to
I
me,
understand. You were burned badly. Yeah.
Burned badly, and I don't want to do it again. I don't want to go through that because
Understood.
While it's quick at the moment, if there's a problem or a glitch on their side, I mean, that can happen. And
yeah.
chances are, you know, it might happen more and more. We don't know. But I don't need the hassle.
Final question. Paper or plastic?
Neither. I take my own bag.
Okay.
I do. I got, you know what? Trader Joe's, and they were not the
ones. Oh, God. Here we go. We're going to talk about Trader Joe's again?
No, Trader Joe's.
We need them as a sponsor.
Honest to God, they should. Trader Joe's, I bought several plastic bags. They were only 99 cents. They're strong as iron.
Yeah.
And I keep the bags in the little envelope on the front door near where I'm going to get out, so I can't miss it. I've got several of them. They're all over the car now because, you know, I'd get in there, and for 99 cents, I would do it. And I'm in the habit. So when everybody went, oh, I forgot my bag, I have to pay 10 cents, that was not an issue for me.
You're so good. And you're environmentally appropriate.
Well, so then, Trader Joe's was the teacher, and I was the student, and
there
I learned
go.
The lesson. We are.
All right. Next survey comes to us from a place called Love Home Swap. And here's what they're telling us. They're revealing America's favorite places to go. They're on their travel bucket list. I guess some of us have a travel bucket list, places we've always wanted to visit but just have never had the money or the time to go. And so they did a little survey to find out where people want to go. But the number one spot is Japan. Would you be interested in visiting Japan?
Would I be interested in? I'd probably be interested in all of these places, but there's two things stopping me. Number one, money.
Yeah.
Number two, actually three things. Two,
it's a long flight, all these places. Let me just list
right.
them real quick. Japan is number one. Finland,
mm-hmm.
number
mm-hmm.
two.
As long as it's not in winter.
Why,
but go ahead.
Of all places, would Finland be on the number two spot on people's
I would be intrigued by the things about their lifestyle in society. They do things differently than we do, I think. It comes up a lot. And
yeah,
I think
but
it'd be intrigued to see how it works on a day-to-day basis if I were there.
It's not exotic. Like
it's cold,
the next
probably.
One on the list, Thailand. I can see why
I'd
people
like
want
to Thailand.
Go to Thailand because mm-hmm. their culture is so different than ours.
Yeah.
Portugal,
King and I.
Argentina,
Portugal, but...
Singapore, Croatia, Slovenia. How that made the list, I have no idea, unless it's because that's where Melania Trump is from. That's all I can imagine.
Yeah, I know. Actually, I think I had a grandfather from there, too. But you know what? I don't know. You know, it's funny. I used to have a little more of the wanderlust when I was younger, and now I tend to be a little more of a homebody.
Well, it's interesting. With age, I'm with you on that, in that as I get older, I don't need to go to world destinations. I wouldn't mind an RV trip in up to Yosemite or something, but I don't really necessarily need to go to Thailand.
Well, here's the other thing too. You know what intrigues me sometimes? You see these ads on TV, either for train trips that are nice through the country, and I think even public television did a series on a couple of really interesting train rides through the country that people don't always think of. And that I think would be nice. I would like to see a little bit more of America. And also these kind of riverboat cruises look interesting too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any compelling need to get on a big cruise ship and go somewhere. I haven't done it. I think I would feel like, when are we going to be there?
Yeah. This survey was done by a company, interestingly, called Love Home Swap. And what these guys do is it's a home exchange program where you can let someone stay in your house
mm-hmm.
and you go and stay in their house. Home swapping, would you ever consider
I would
that?
Probably do it with a. I would think I would do it with somebody I knew or a relative.
No,
it's
not like that. Obviously, anyone would do it with someone they knew.
Yeah.
But this is with someone you don't know.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'd have to be really. I'd be a little nervous about it. I'd want to make sure that it's not so much that, you know, I have anything that valuable, but you know, I have a desktop computer and I wouldn't want somebody hacking into it and getting information, or I've got, you know, if you have files or whatever. Now again,
I know,
you know,
that sounds funny.
It out, you know?
I know. Only 4% of people have actually done a home swap. Just before we started here today, I went on a website to found a website where they where you exchange homes, and you put your picture up, a photo of you and your spouse and all the pictures of your house, and talk about what's in your house. And then the people who stay in your house review your house, and they talk about how nicely you left their house. And it's an interesting idea. The biggest problem for me would be that you would have to swap houses with someone who had a house that was somehow similar to yours. In other words, mm-hmm. I'm not going to swap my house for, you know, a studio apartment someplace.
Right.
And it's got to be in a place I want to go. I'm not going
unless
to...
Unless it was a studio apartment, say, in
New York.
Paris.
Or Paris. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I might do that. How do you match
the two
people?
You know what? I don't think you really know what that place is going to be like until you walk in the door, in which case I think this is a great idea on paper, and I think some people can do it. I think it's not for me.
Meanwhile, they're in your house, so you can't go home. So you go. All right, let's move on to our final topic today. Is this our final topic? Why, yes, it is. Our final topic today, most Americans think they're more attractive than most other. Let me say it again. Yeah. It's pretty funny.
Who did this survey?
Most Americans think they're more attractive than most other Americans, according to a new survey.
Americans are they looking at?
This survey was done by Sleep Zoo, and it's decidedly unscientific. It was an online survey of about 2,000 adult men and women. I like the fact that they just come right out and say it was decidedly unscientific. I love that.
Well, I think that's about the only thing you can depend on in this one.
Most of these are. 65% of women say they feel pressured by the media to attain a more attractive body, while only 31% of men feel such pressure.
Okay. First of all, let me ask you a question, and I bet the answer is not even revealed in the survey. How old are these women?
Doesn't say. You're right. Doesn't say.
Yes. Okay. I think that if it's a large percentage, I think if you're young, you're in the dating scene, you want to be, you're looking for somebody, you're kind of not on the prowl, but you know, you'd like to meet somebody. Then yes, I think that's important. I also think it's important if you are starting out on
what's
the career
path. I don't understand. If you're on the prowl, what's important?
To make sure that you are attractive.
Oh, I see.
Okay? Yeah. And I'm not saying that once you hit like 60
you don't
years
think
old,
everyone wants to be attractive.
I do think everybody wants to be attractive, but at some point, if you are not going to wake up and be looking like Julia Roberts or something, then forget it.
When asked to rate their looks on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, what would we all say?
Oh, God, with this meat, I'm going to send you back on that long grocery line we were talking about before. Seriously.
69% of men, that's the bulk of men, said they're at least a 6. And 67% of women rated themselves at least a 6. So most people feel they're at least a 6, which is above average. 5 would be an average, you know. So most people feel like, well, I'm way better than average looking.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you kind of have to have that belief in your heart.
I find this survey. Yeah, can I tell you something? The people who did this survey, they really, really need to get a hobby. I'm not kidding. This is crazy.
Susan,
I mean, I understand that. Look,
here's the thing. I think you're uncomfortable with this topic, and the reason is I think you and I both know we're 9s, so we feel like we'd be looking. We feel like we're looking down on the rest of the world because of our attractiveness. Don't you think?
Yeah, Bob, I'm a 9. I'm a 9. There's a reason this podcast is more like radio than television.
I think, honestly, I think that's it. All right, that's about it for us. That wraps it up for us for another edition of Older and Wiser. We are glad you joined us today.
Be sure to check in for daily news updates and to find out how Bob and I feel, how our looks have changed. All kinds of interesting stuff that matter when you're 50 plus at olderandwiser.com.
I'm Bob Bates along with Susan Sikora. Thanks for listening.